You are now entering the world of Blissful Living, broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blissful Living Show. This is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I have a wonderful show in store for you. I have two ladies with me, and we're just going to have a really nice conversation, and I'm going to share more about the ladies with you in a few minutes, but this is like absolutely a great time to take out some time for yourself today, maybe 30, 45 minutes. See if you can find a little spot where you can, you know, have your favorite little beverage and grab something to write with, a piece of paper, a pen, pencil, something to write with. You may want to take some notes during this conversation because we're talking to two fierce, fearless, and unstoppable women today. And I know they have words of wisdom for all of you out there listening, particularly in this day and age when us women are uniting and doing things that we have never, ever did in the history of this country, good old USA. So I'm saying this show is something you don't want to miss. So find a place to relax, get something to drink, tell the family to chill for a few minutes, get you something to write with, and enjoy this time for yourself. I want to thank the first sponsor of the show, the Blissful Living for You at blissfulliving4you.com. Great place to go if you're looking to elevate your wellness, do some mindset or wisdom changing, as well as if you want to learn how to elevate your wealth, whether you want to build it, sustain it, create more, diversify, whatever it is, they have some really good things in store for you. But all of their things are really focused on helping you to step into living the life of your dreams. And so the three pillars they focus on is wellness, wisdom, and wealth, so that you can do that seamlessly and flawlessly with much, much success. The other sponsor of the show is a telecommunications installation company located in the heart of Silicon Valley, All Day Cable Incorporated. All Day Cable Incorporated has been around for 30 years. This is going on their 31st year of business. They specialize in voice data, fiber optic cabling installation, as well as wireless access points, video, audio, anything that has to do with how we telecommunicate or how we communicate today. And in this day and age, that has become so important to make sure the backbone of your telecom or your network distribution is operating effectively, efficiently, and has the right connection so that you don't miss your clients or making money on that other end of the line there. So if you have a need and you're looking for a company that has survived every type of economy we've ever had since the 1990s, then I suggest you check out All Day Cable, Inc. at alldaycableinc.com. Now, I did tell you that today's show, I have two phenomenal ladies with me. And the first one that I'm going to share with you, let me tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Sandy Lamb. And Sandy has a passion for helping business leaders and is known for challenging the status quo to get the best out of your greatest asset, people. She saw executive coaching as a perfect opportunity for her to give back the expertise and operational insights she learned in corporate America while affording her the opportunity to spend more time blending family and wellness into her life. As owner and CEO of Altitude Business Coaching, Sandy will help you build a culture of belonging and mutual respect between men and women in the workplace. Now, Sandy has spent 2019 traveling the country and speaking at women in energy and nuclear conferences to educate women on how to lead authentically with emotional intelligence and resilience. And in March 2020, she attended her first live international speaking engagement in Bali, Indonesia at the Women's Leadership and Empowerment Conference and will be returning as a speaker and part of the scientific committee in 2021, hosted in Bangkok, Highland. So that is our first fabulous lady that's joining us today. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the second gal. Now, Dr. Tanya Renee Lee's journey into public speaking started in the ninth grade. Tanya entered the Lawton, Oklahoma Optimist International Zone Oracle Contest and placed fifth place, last. Undeterred, her next strategy was convincing her parents to hire a speech coach so she could improve. The next year, she won first place. I love it. That's being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable. Making words have a positive impact, spurring others to action, and touching people's lives became an obsession for her. In choosing a major for college, it was no surprise she chose oral communication education. And at the age of 20 in 1983, Tanya graduated from the University of Central Oklahoma with a BA in oral communication education. Now, Tanya went on to earn a MPA, EDS, and a DM. In 1993, she earned membership into the Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Arts. Now, Tanya is also a John Maxwell Keene certified teacher, trainer, and speaker. So those are fabulous guests for today's show. And these women are part of the Unstoppable Woman Summit, which is going to be having a virtual summit coming up very shortly. But they're also going to be speakers at the live Unstoppable Woman Summit. And the Unstoppable Woman Summit is an event to bring women together around the world to help them step into being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable while turning their passion into purpose and that into profit. And so it is my pleasure to have these two ladies with me. They're very special gals. And I just want to start off with asking the ladies. We'll start with Sandy first. Sandy, with regards to your expertise in what you do around resilience in corporate America, what would you share with the ladies out there listening today that want to step into being resilient so that they can really be fierce, fearless, and unstoppable, but kind of are hesitant about allowing their resilience to shine out outright? What would you say to those ladies?
Yeah, thank you so much for the question, Rochelle, and thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here with Tanya as well. I would say just do it. That's what I would say. most of my speaking started around leading with emotional intelligence, and it wasn't until last year with all that we experienced where I really expanded it more into the resilience realm, because I see a lot of overlap and similarities there. And the idea behind resilience is that you are bringing about high levels of effectiveness and well-being in a time of disruption, right? So did any of us experience disruption last year, maybe? Maybe once or twice? Maybe a little bit, yeah. Yeah, so resilience is really about, it's a process, you know? It's not a thing. And so I think that the more that you move forward, the more steps that you take to build and flex certain aspects of resilience muscles. There's in a book by Linda Hoops called Prosilience, she defines 7 different resilience muscles. So things like positivity, confidence, priorities, creativity, these are characteristics that resilient people demonstrate. So there's a lot of different ways in which you can work to build that resilience. And again, you know, it's just a question of take that first step and do it, right? don't be stuck.
Yes, I like it. You know, I like how you said it's you know, a part of something. It's not the something. It's a part of something. And in the component of it, you said that, you know, there's several components to resilience. It's not a thing. It's not something you do once. It's you do it, you embrace it, and then you continue doing it. And I like that. Now, with regards to emotional intelligence, share the definition of emotional intelligence just for the listeners, so then I can broaden that question just a tiny bit.
Yes, so very similar, like I said, to resilience, which is why I love the overlap there, is emotional intelligence is really about your ability to understand your emotions as they're occurring in real time and figure out how that applies and affects people around you.
And so a woman that is looking to step into, say, turning her passion into profit and needing to have somewhat maybe a team behind her, having the emotional intelligence and knowing what that is will help her to really step into really being unstoppable. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, Daniel Goleman, who's a popular, who sort of coined the idea of emotional intelligence probably 15 years ago. It's becoming more and more popular now, and it's really a criteria, according to him, to go from just being an average performer to being a star performer. And I think what makes a difference there is the focus on building relationships, because you can't learn how to control your emotions if you're not aware of them as they're occurring in real time. And then you need to figure out how to manage those effectively, because how you manage them has an impact on the relationships that you build at work and certainly for people that work for you.
Wow. Okay. That's good information to know, because there's more to being emotionally intelligent and resilient than just the words that we hear all the time. You know, people say these words and they're like, oh, it's just, you know, you just have to develop some emotional intelligence, but there's more to it. And when we dive into the underlying of what the meaning of the words are, it really helps us to step into to being our best and being that person that we really want to be, so that we can truly step into our greatness. So thank you for sharing that information, because I think it's important for us to clarify and get a good understanding of the things that are kind of occurring in our life right now that we need to incorporate, but we may not be quite sure how to do that or what they mean and or how they're going to help us move forward. So I appreciate you expanding upon that. Now, Tanya, I want to ask you with regards to, you know, your expertise, and I love the fact, here's something that just opening up with your story, you know, how you came in fifth place, which was last place, and you were determined not to let that happen again. So by being real savvy and smooth, so to speak, you coaxed your parents into hiring you a coach, and you came in first. That shows to me being fierce and fearless, because you came in last place. The fearful thing is, what if I did this again? What would happen if I came in last place again? But you pushed through that and you had a plan. So share with the listeners out there, what motivated you? And I know you're probably a younger gal, but what motivated you to not step into being defeated by coming in last place, but circumventing that by doing what you did so that you could excel and come in, you know, next year, capture first place? What motivated you to not give up?
Well, I don't like to fail, and I felt like I could win another day, and I wasn't going to give up just because I had a bad day. I think that there will always be someone bigger or better than you, but we need to strive anyway, study hard anyway, and try anyway. And so I didn't give up, and I don't think anybody else should either. There will always be naysayers, but we've got to do our best anyway. And I decided the best way to do that was to get a coach after I found out that is why the other participants did so well. It's because I was using notes, and they had memorized everything. So I learned that sometimes memorization, yes, you have to practice on that sometimes, because some of us are better at memorizing things than others.
Right.
So I felt like I was going to work hard like they had did, get a coach, and come back next year to live another day, hopefully, and I did better, and so I won because I didn't give up.
I love it. I mean, to me, that story within itself is just the epitome of, you know, and what you share. There's always going to be someone better. There's always going to be someone that comes after you that, you know, might excel what you've accomplished. But the fact that you have the resilience and the emotional
I was going to say, she demonstrated resilience.
I'm a good student, aren't I? But you have the resilience and the emotional intelligence, right, to understand at a young age that, you know, if you gave up then, you would have never known what you could have accomplished. And so many times
exactly.
in our life, and I know we, you know, all three of us, we've come across people in our lives that have given up because things didn't go their
yeah.
way the first time. Or, you know, this is, I'm going to just digress a minute. When my daughter was little, she's very bright, one of those little kids that, she was reading by the time she was three, and she's just, you know, just very bright little girl. So when she started kindergarten, they were teaching them how to write cursive in kindergarten. And she came home, and her brother was in third grade, and he's learning how to write cursive in third grade. She was in private school at the time. He was in public school. So she just wanted to just be able to write she wanted to write everything she saw right away that day in, you know, cursive. And she was so upset. Mommy, I can't do it. I can't get this right. I can't get this right. How come you can do it and it's so easy? And I told her, I said, you have to keep trying. And the more you try, the better you'll get. And there'll be a time when you look back at today and you laugh because you're so upset and so frustrated that you can't write a cursive R. But you look at that time and you'll laugh at yourself as to, why was I so upset? The thing is, don't give up. Just keep practicing because practice makes perfect, right? That's just something I used to hear all the time when I was a kid.
Right.
Well, fast forward, you know, by the end of her kindergarten years, not only could that girl write in cursive and read up a storm, but, you know, she was helping the kids in her classroom that were struggling. You know, it was just a funny thing. And even today when she, when I recite that story to her, she's like, well, Mommy, I said, where'd you get your tenacity from? She goes, Mommy, remember when we were sitting at the table when I was in kindergarten and I was learning how to, and I'm like, oh, yeah. She goes, well, you told me never to give up. Never give up. If one way doesn't work, there's always another way, or just practicing and you'll get better. And so she said, and I held that to heart, and, you know, this is how I am today. And so it's amazing that some of the things we learn as children stick with us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, but the good
right.
things that stick with us and help us to learn how to be resilient as we go on through our life, as we become adults, because no one tells us how things are as an adult. They just say, oh, one day you're going to wish you were stayed a kid, right? And so I love this. I love just both of what you're sharing. It goes in harmony with the message that we're trying to bring to the world. Now, Tanya, I want to ask you, living an inspired life, what would you like to say to the women or that one woman out there that needs to hear something from you that allows her to know it's okay to live an inspired life? What would you like to say to those ladies or to that one gal?
Well, I would like to say that we have to give ourselves permission to live. And what I mean by that, sometimes we let others dictate how we respond, what we do. Some may advise us to quit different things in life, but I want them to know that they need today to give themselves permission to live. And explore the possibilities that are in store for them. God has a design for their life, and I would encourage them to use the wonderful talents He has given them. They have the right and authority to fulfill their promises, and this is the year for them to fulfill their promises. They are already equipped with everything they need, with their divinely inspired talent, and they need to stick with it and finish the course. And they need to learn how to work hard, live well, do better, excel, and never give up to succeed anyway.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I think that's a message that, you know, a lot of people need to hear in this day and age, because we all need some uplifting at times, and we all face times where we just want to give up. But when you listen to words like what you just shared, Tanya, it makes that little spark of light that may be dimming inside you brighten up just a little bit and give you a little bit more hope. And the more you can hang on to that, the more the light gets brighter and the more you go on and do what you're here to do. So thank you for sharing that. I want to go back to Sandy
welcome.
Now. I want to go back to Sandy. And Sandy, with regards to emotional intelligence, and, you know, I know that's something that can be sometimes difficult for people to embrace or capture, learn, realize is happening in the moment that it's happening, because it's all about learning to handle your emotions in the moment and knowing that and knowing what's surfacing up and causing those to surface and rise up in you. With regards to that, why is leading with emotional intelligence so critical to becoming that person, that star performer that a person knows that they are, may have discounted that they are, or is ready to step in to being? What is so critical to becoming that?
Yeah, thanks so much for the question. There's, you know, the assessments that I do on emotional quotient, which measures your emotional intelligence, has five different areas. And it's interesting, when Tanya was talking, one of the areas is motivation. So we crossed over on motivation and we crossed over on resilience. And the other thing is social awareness, which is like empathy, and social regulation. So why EQ is so important to be an effective leader is ultimately it leads to better decision-making. And it leads to better decision-making because you are focused not only on yourself, but on the impact of other people, right? You actually can empathize with them. You can put yourself in a situation to understand what they're experiencing and going through, and you're actually taking the time to ask the questions and listen to their response and demonstrate that you care. You know, one of my favorite quotes is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And really, that's something that drove me when I was in corporate America in terms of a leadership perspective, right? Like, people that work for me need to know that I care about them as a person, not just an employee.
Right. That's interesting because I think the three of us have all experienced something in that realm, and I love that quote as well because there's times where when I was working my business or, you know, being a nurse and taking care of patients in the emergency room or trauma aspect of the hospital setting, you know, it was really in some of these moments that I had to utilize emotional intelligence so that I could be that star performer for that person, that patient I was taking care of, or that business negotiation I was handling, or, you know, a vendor or somebody that I was doing business with or interacting with. I really had to really tap into that. And so I think it's great that we can have this dialogue about utilizing it and not feel bad if we're not owning up to being completely emotionally intelligent, because it can be a struggle. Am I right, Sandy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. It's, you know, what... One of the resilient muscles also is connection, and I think this is an important one to emphasize too, because oftentimes we feel like we need to do it ourselves, so we need to figure it out ourselves. I have a 19-year-old daughter who's a freshman in college, and, you know, I keep telling her, you're not in this alone, you know, you can ask for help, you can reach out. And so I think that, and when you do that, again, you work to build your emotional intelligence at the same time that you're building your resiliency, right? And it's like a win-win situation.
You know, it's interesting. I'm always working on my emotional intelligence just because I'm one of those people that you know, kind of hunker down and tend to sometimes not ask for help when I need to ask for help, because I'm a perfectionist and I just want to do it. And it's just easier for me to do it than explain how I want to do it. But I'm getting better.
That's the subject of another podcast.
Right. I think it's called the woman syndrome, being a woman in the millennial syndrome. But yeah, I think, you know, I think having this conversation is really helpful because it is something to grasp, especially when you're in the middle of it. And the whole resilience or being resilient that goes with it is critical in helping us to step into doing what we're here to do. And we all have a purpose. We all have something that we're meant to do. And no one can do what we're meant to do but us, because God has given us that particular assignment, whatever it is, right? And so having the education and gaining the wisdom and connecting, like we're connecting and sharing this information is, I want to say, just a boss thing to do, because we may not know who we're helping by just having this dialogue, but we could be helping a ton. I want to say the F word. It's my show, I can say. We could be helping a shitload of people that we don't even know that we're helping, right? You know, by just having this dialogue, because it's something that they can relate to, or they may have heard this had a conversation, or you know what I'm saying. So I'm glad we're having this, because I think as part of as us growing into the new era of having a female vice president for the first time in the United States history, that is monumental. And as we grow into that and accept that things are changing and evolving and women are becoming more of a component and more instrumental and more in the forefront of change, I think it'll be a lot easier for a lot of people to embrace. Now, Tanya, I want to go back to you because I'd like what you said earlier with regards to just being in that place and not giving up. But if someone is out there listening to us and they're feeling a little bit despair, they're giving up a little bit of hope because, you know, the circumstances that we've been going through, and their enthusiasm, their feeling is waning, it's going away. What would you say to that person to help them to embrace each day with hope, with a new set of hope and new zest for enthusiasm as they continue their journey here on Earth?
Well, I would tell them, thank you, first of all, for asking me that question. I would tell them.
You're very welcome. You're so mannerable. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I want to tell them that there are going to be rough times always in everybody's life. A minister once said that I was listening to that you may think that you have the perfect life and look at someone else and make comments about them or develop an opinion. But he said, just keep on living and one day you'll have something that rocks your boat too. So I would tell them that they need to continue to dream. You know, one of my favorite quotes was Harriet Tubman, and she never gave up. And she always helped people to come into their own in terms of escaping and being free. Mm-hmm. And so I would want them to know one of her quotes I like to use, that Harriet Tubman once said, every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world.
I love that. That's beautiful. You know, Harriet Tubman is very near and dear to me. She is, I want to say, she's my, I want to say spirit guide, so to speak, but she's a person that I, you know, when I think about her and how tiny she was, but the tenacity and the ferociousness, and she, to me, is the true epitome of being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable in the midst when everybody is out to get you, when your life is on the line, when you sacrifice yourself for the good of others, and look what happened with all of that. You know, she's my person. She's my strength. So when I'm in that one, when I get in that kind of mode, or I'm just like, you know, I have to think about, you know, Harriet was little. She's a little lady, but she's tough. She can tap into that strength that, you know, from all those years gone by, she can still tap into her strength. There's nothing you can overcome, and there's nothing that I'm going to face in my day today, no matter what, that she had to face back in her day. There's nothing that can compare to what, you know. So when I think about that, I think, you know, when you just said that, it's like, that is so true. That is so true. And women out there, and men, if you're listening to us have this conversation, we're sharing words of wisdom, hope, enthusiasm, motivation, and definitely connection. It's all about helping all of us to connect, to help each other, to lift ourselves up to a higher and better place. And, you know, when you have hope and enthusiasm, and when you can start the day with that, all things, all great things will be bestowed upon you as you move forward down your path. So thank you, Tanya, for sharing that. Now,
Sandy,
you're so cute, Tanya. I love you.
Thank you.
Now, look, I've got this great big old grin on. I've been talking to you guys, and I've got this great big old grin. Boy, my poor cheeks, after we're done talking, they're going to be like, "Woo, good thing you stopped talking, because now we can rest," because I've just been grinning the whole time. I love the conversation because it's the right time in this day and age to have this conversation. If we were talking like this in the 1990s, it wouldn't have been right. Or even at the beginning of the millennial, it wouldn't have been right. But today is the day that we're having this conversation, because it is the right time, the right place. I've got the two right fabulous women with me, and we're bringing it to all the women around the world that hear this, that needs to hear this message. So, Sandy, now.
Yes, ma'am.
When, you guys are so cute. When it comes to stepping into building our emotional intelligence, what are some simple steps that we can do today to start to work on building that emotional intelligence?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for that. It is, it's as simple as breathing. That's what I tell people. It's as simple as breathing. When you, the thing with managing your emotions is, well, you can't, I always tell people, you can't control your emotions any more than you can control your breathing, but you can learn how to manage them effectively. So what I tell people, what I coach people, is you need to learn to respond and not react. Like, those are the words. And in fact, one of my clients just had an incident at work yesterday. She texted me and she said, I'm trying to learn how to respond.
That's good. You need to say that again.
I was like, hey, you're listening. You're listening. She heard me. She heard me. You need to learn how to respond and not react. Because think about it. When I say those two words, what do you? How do you feel, right? You. There's an emotion that comes up in you. When I say react, it feels like it's there's angst there. Like there, it feels like it's impulsive, right? And when I say respond, it feels like I've thought about it, right? I've thought about something before I've acted. I've taken time. I've taken a breath. So there are simple things that you can do. One of them are, you know, I always say get up and walk away. Now, we're in a Zoom world these days, so getting up and walking out of a room is maybe not, maybe frowned upon. But, you know, get count to 10. Give yourself a breath. Mm-hmm. I discovered when I started my business and I moved out of corporate America, I discovered meditation, and it has saved my life, literally. It's a simple tool that we can all use. You know, I start every day with prayer and meditation, and it just really sets the stage for your day. So prayer, meditation, gratitude is always a part of my morning routine. I highly recommend it to all my clients because everybody struggles with self-regulation. That's the area of emotional intelligence where we're aware of our emotions sometimes, but boy, we really need to learn how to control those disruptive impulses. So very simple steps that you can do.
I love it. I love it. excuse me. it hit home in so many points. It's just like meditation. I've been meditating probably since I was 10 years old. I was doing some form of meditation. I didn't know what it was at the time. It was just something my track and field coach told me that I needed to do and gave me some little things, you know, some simple little thing for a 10-year-old to do because he put me into running the 400 meters, which I didn't want to do, so I had to meditate so that I wouldn't have a fit before I ran the race. But it really does help.
I was just thinking we need to teach our children how to meditate when they're in timeout.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a good learning opportunity, right?
Right. You know, there have been studies and things conducted in schools where they have had these kids, and I'm not sure, I want to say it's maybe fourth or fifth grade, maybe even third, fourth, or fifth grade. I'm not real sure the age group, but they have these kids, they do this meditation for like 20 minutes a day, and they did it for a while, and then they stopped. And the kids just went ballistic because they love, at first, you know, of course, you know how kids are, or people in general, you go, ha-ha, don't want to do it. But then you start doing it, and then it becomes you want to do it, and then becomes you need to do it, right? It's like, I can't go a day now without, before I, like, I'm like you, Sandy, I wake up, I have my routine, I do a meditation, I do some swishing, I do a meditation, I do, you know, some gratitude stuff, I write, and then, you know, it's like, oh, okay, now I can, you know, start my day. If I don't do a meditation, say if I have the early flight and I don't have time to do it before I get to the airplane or the airport, when I get on that airplane and I'm in my, well, okay, when I used to get on the airplane and I was in my bubble, you know, I would be like, you know, put my headphones on and, you know, just go into my own little Zen world because I've been doing it for so long. But it really is beneficial and it is very impactful into helping you to identify when you need to be emotionally intelligent throughout your day. Boom, bam. You got to get more help with that. I'm going to say, we're going to have Sandy help you with that. We're going to direct you to Sandy, but I just had to put that out there because meditation does calm the fires of us people that are super fire. I'm a pizza. I'm full of fire. So if you're full of fire, meditation will calm those fires. Even if they spark up or flare up during the day, to help you be emotionally intelligent. I love it. I love it. So now, Tanya.
It's calming, right? It's all about calming.
It really is. It's a trip. I would share more about things, how I utilized it when I was in the midst of emergency nursing care. And I will share one thing. I had patients that would be having heart attacks, and I would have them do simple meditation of just focus on their breathing and would literally see their EKGs and cardiac monitor rhythms change from something that was, you know, potentially life-threatening to normal sinus or slow down. It was amazing. I wish I would have recorded that stuff, but back in those days, we didn't have phones that you could record anything. They were like the size of my mini wallet at that time, and you weren't carrying them in your pocket. So anyways, Tanya,
yeah.
I want to get back to and I want to ask you this question with regards to forgiveness. What would you share with the ladies and gentlemen out there that may be listening when it comes to forgiving themselves? A lot of people don't realize that they need to forgive themselves. So what would you, they need to forgive themselves so that they can move on their journey more gracefully and more and have more abundance come into their life. What would you share with those people on how they can begin or how they can forgive themselves for whatever it may be?
Well, they can forgive themselves because of the fact that God forgives us, first of all. Now, everybody may not believe in the power of God, but I would say no matter what faith they are, and maybe they don't have a faith, but they can pray for forgiveness. They need to give themselves forgiveness, self-forgiveness. And they need to maybe sometimes get professional and spiritual counseling. And forgiving and dusting your feet off and moving on is best said by a client I actually had when I was in Hollywood that, and she, we, our religions are different. Hers is Islam, and mine is Messianic Christianity. But I do agree with one thing that she said in her autobiography, Growing Up X, and this is Ilyasa Shabazz. She said, we come into each other's life for a specific purpose. When that purpose is fulfilled, all we can do is reminisce, learn, readjust, and then move on. And sometimes we're blessed to have certain angels in our lives for a lifetime. I'm grateful to all of you who have touched my life so fervently. Understanding life in this manner makes it easier to enjoy those special moments, yet gracefully let go in deeper peace. And while I'm a Christian, the spiritual mandate of Jesus requires forgiveness, and we have to learn how to forgive ourselves. God wants us to eliminate any hindrances because he has a plan for us, and it is to give us hope in a future.
Love it, love it, love it. There you have it. Okay, Sandy. I need to share these
By the way, Tanya and I are aligned because when you asked her that question, my first response was, you need to forgive yourself because God forgives you. And those were the first words that she said. There's a reason. There's a reason we come into each other's lives.
Right?
Yeah.
Can I breathe? Like, am I the, you know, what is the thing, like the catalyst? Like, you know, I think it's like baking soda or baking powder that you have to put in. If you don't put it in the cake or something, it doesn't rise. Or, you know, that I'm that ingredient that brings the harmony of the synergy of the beautiful women here together. You guys are paired up, right? I mean, you guys didn't know each other from, you know, an apple and an orange, so to speak, and you pair it up in here.
Right.
Here we're having this beautiful conversation that is so synergistic that it's amazing. And, you know, I always have to say God is great because I didn't put us together.
Mm-hmm.
God put us together.
He brings people into our lives right when we need them.
Exactly.
Yes,
and I love how Tanya said that, you know, sometimes people come into your life Shabazz had told you, but it's true sometimes, and I heard that too from someone when I was young. People come into your life sometimes, they're walking down your walking down your path, and sometimes people come and join you and they walk with you for quite a ways, and then they go off and you may never see them again, or they may come back in your life as you further down your path. Sometimes people come across your path and they're there for that moment and then they're gone. Sometimes people come in and out, and sometimes people, you know, stay with you the whole way. It's a divine plan. It doesn't make it right or wrong when somebody leaves. I'm sorry. That's not what I want to say. It doesn't make it wrong when someone comes upon your life and they're there for a moment and they're gone. It's the journey that you're meant to take, and it's the beauty of having that connection with that person. And there was a reason why you connected with that person, either for a short time, long time, meeting time, back and forth or whatever, but there's a reason, and you are a gift to each other. So I just realized we're just chatting. I want to ask Sandy. I know. Oh my gosh. I want to ask Sandy one last question. And this has to do with all of the women and very smart men out there listening to us, phenomenally fabulous ladies, have this conversation about emotional intelligence, resilience, and forgiveness, and just having hope and embracing yourself as a loving being. I want to ask you, Sandy, what is a message that you would like to leave the listeners with today that goes along with the whole catalyst of what we've been speaking about, which is truly how women can step into being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable. What would you like to say to someone out there or all of the people out there listening when it comes to exactly that and allowing yourself to build resilience and develop emotional intelligence with regards to their journey? What would you like to say?
What I would like to say is to spread hope from the perspective of people you know, before EQ was IQ, right? And everyone knows what IQ is. What you may not know, though, is that your IQ is sort of fixed. You know, you get to a certain level or a certain age where your general intelligence is kind of capped out. EQ is something that you can work to improve throughout your lifetime, as is building your resilience muscles. So my message is one of hope to say you can do it. Anybody can do it. You can start today, and you can continue to build throughout your lifetime and flex, learn how to flex both of these muscles. So start today.
Love it. So it's never too late. Today is a great day to start. Love, love, love. And now, Miss Tanya Renee Lee, for your message for those out there that are listening to us and they're seeking, they're hoping to find, and they want to grow, what would you say to them to help them to step into living an inspired life so that they can be fierce, fearless, and unstoppable and accomplish whatever it is that they want to do?
I would tell them that they were put here again, like I said, for a purpose, and that they hold the key, no one else but them. Nobody can do them but them. And that they hold the key to unlock the door leading to their own destiny. And we can help, if we're in contact with them sometimes, to keep instilling this dream for them to reach. And I would tell them, continue to dream. Don't give up. Destiny awaits you. Continue to dream.
I love it. Thank you, ladies, so much. The fabulous Sandy Lamb and the phenomenal Tanya Renee Lee. Thank you for sharing your words of wisdom with not only me, but all of the listeners out there listening. Again, you just never know who needed to hear the message in the conversation that we were having, and we will never probably know whose lives we may have touched, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is that we three ladies came together to have this beautiful conversation, and I don't know about you ladies, but I feel totally uplifted. I feel that my emotional intelligence is, well, almost spot on. I'm definitely resilient. I love dreaming. I do forgive myself, and I do allow myself and give myself permission to step in to living a phenomenally fabulous life. And, of course, I am fierce, fearless, and unstoppable, as well as you ladies. And so thank you, ladies, so much for being with me and having this phenomenal conversation. I really, really appreciate you and really, really am thankful for the message that you shared.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate the
opportunity. It was a pleasure.
Yes.
And to all of you guys out there listening, I want to thank you. Please, please, please share this show with everybody you know, you love, you care about, particularly if you have young ladies in your life, girls, women. It's never too late to educate our girls on how they can really embrace whatever it is they want to do and not be afraid to embrace it, share it, display it, give it, whatever. It's never, ever too late, and it's never, ever too early to start that. So please share this show with everybody you love and care about. I want to thank the sponsors,
yes,
Blissful Living for You at blissfullivingforyou.com. Please go check them out. You will not be disappointed in anything you get from them, and they have a ton of free stuff to help you really elevate your wellness, wisdom, and wealth. And I want to thank the other sponsor, All Day Cable Incorporated, at alldaycableincorporated.com or alldaycableinc.com. If you have a need in the telecommunications arena, whether you're a small, medium, or large corporation, you definitely want to check them out. They're very resilient. They give excellent customer service.
Ah, boo!
Look at you.
Boom. Drop the mic, girl. Drop the
mic. I'm a mess, right? I wish I had a mic. I'm just a mess. But please check out All Day Cable Inc. at alldaycableinc.com. And to all of you, you know, without you listening to this for the last 10 years, I wouldn't be able to bring these phenomenal guests that I have to have these wonderful conversations that help us all to move more gracefully as we travel down our path to bliss. So thank you so much. As always, I'm wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. May you step into owning, claiming, being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable so that you can live the life of your dreams. I am the queen of feeling fabulous, the phenomenal, amazing, I keep my own horn, but I'm just kidding, Rochelle Marie Lawson. Until next time, all of you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Stay healthy and safe, and goodbye for now.
Thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on Blissful Living for You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand and available for download 24/7 on blissfulliving4you.com. Until next week, may your life be filled with peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity.